Neden fazla sana Holy Spirit Wonga da mean?
It's a blessing to be any part of the four condensed days of
the study of the Gospel of St. Mark. It's very nice that we have, during the fast, we have something that we learn the Word of God, that we have a chance to know much about the Lord while we are fasting. So we are the third day. Last couple of days we finished the first 8 chapters, which is the first half. And God willing, today and tomorrow will be the last 8 chapters. Today, God willing, we'll try to cover 4 chapters. And God willing, tomorrow the other. Chapter number 9 of the Gospel of St. Mark. We all have the papers, like the chapter itself. The chapter is divided into 3 or 4 parts. Today, by chance, it's the Feast of Transfiguration in the church. And today we are going to read the miracle of the Lord, which is the Transfiguration. So we are going through the first 12 or 13 verse, and it's talking about the Transfiguration. If I can put a title for this chapter, it's from chapter 9, verse 5. I'll keep it as "It is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here." And this verse, the Lord, or actually St. Peter has said it to the Lord on the mountain. It's a very nice verse. If we can just put it in mind, kid, it is good for us to be here. We'll leave the first verse and we'll go to the verse number 2. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining exceedingly, white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiter or whiten them. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. So this is actually what happened. So the Lord, after 6 days, he took St. Peter, St. James, and St. John, took them to the mountain. It's not mentioned here, but it is the mountain of Tabor. And then he showed them another appearance of the Lord. And it says here, his clothes became shining exceedingly white, very white, more shining, more than the sun. A lot of the fathers, they said, the lightning was much, much, much more than the sun. And 3 of them, they couldn't see anything because the amount of light that the Lord has mentioned, or the Lord appeared in front of them. The idea is this chapter, the last chapter, I was talking about how you can carry the cross and how you can follow me. And then today he was trying to show them kind of shot of what they are going to see at the kingdom of God. So if we are, we can summarize the transfiguration, it is just a picture of what we are going to see in the kingdom of God. There is a few questions if we can ask, why is St. Peter and St. James and St. John, why is there only three went up? Can we have any clue? We have three of the disciples went up with the Lord. Why St. Peter? Why St. James? And why St. John? St. Peter, the last chapter, we'll find St. Peter, he had a strong faith. St. James, one of the disciples, he is well known with the righteousness and the very good deeds. And last, St. John, as we know, his name, John the Beloved. So as if the Lord is telling us, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he has a faith and he believes in me. And it's not only the faith by words, it's by the deeds. And at the end is the love. So no one can see the Lord on the Mount of Tabor, or no one can see the Lord in the kingdom of God except through the faith, the good deeds, and the love. Okay. So this is the first question we can ask ourselves. Why? Because everyone resembling one of the virtues we should have to see the Lord. The second question, why Elijah and why Moses? He can ask any of the prophets, Elijah, or maybe he can ask Abraham, like one of the greatest. He can ask David to come, but he asked Moses and Elijah. Any suggestion? Yes? Just think about why Elijah and why Moses? Why both of them? They are similar in few stuff, and they are different in few stuff. All right. We'll mention it quickly. All right. The Lord is trying to teach the disciple that he is the one from the Old Testament, and he is coming to continue the New Testament. Elijah, resembling the prophet. Moses, resembling the law, the commandment that the Lord or God has given them in the Old Testament. So as if he's telling them all the prophets, all the prophecy, all the law, all the commandments, all to let you know that God, or I am God of the Old Testament. Clear? Yeah? Another thing, we'll find Moses. Did Moses die? Did he die? He was dead. In the same time, we'll find Elijah, he didn't die. He has been taken to heaven. As if the Lord is telling us, he is the God, not a God of dead people, he's a God of the living. And this is where we're going to read it in the next chapter. So God is the God of the living, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What else? Moses was married. Is Moses was married? Moses was married. Yeah? Yeah. What about Elijah? He wasn't. So God is God of everyone, married or not married. Something we'll find very similar between both of them. Both of them, they fasted. As if the Lord is telling us, fasting is the way to see me. They both fasted 40 days. Both of them, they have weakness. Both of them, they had weakness. Anyone remember the weakness of, one of the weakness of Moses? He killed. This is one of the first weakness, and that's why he went through 40 years of servant prep to be back again to be a good servant. What about Elijah? Elijah was known with fire, and he will find him get scared from the king, and he is asking God, how come no one except me? And he's going to kill me. So he got scared from the king. So everyone has positive and everyone has negative. So just quickly to remind you why Moses, why Elijah? Moses resembling the law of the Lord. Elijah resembling the prophets or the prophecy. Moses was married, Elijah was not. Moses and Elijah both fasted 40 days. Elijah was alive, Moses was dead. There is more stuff, but we'll just keep it for this most like 4 or 5 points to learn. At the end of each chapter, we will just mention, we'll remember one verse to memorize, one verse to contemplate, and one verse to understand. The main event of this chapter, from the first verse to around 13 chapter verse, the transfiguration, which we celebrated today. The second is casting out the mute spirit from the boy, the young boy, and this is going to take us till verse 30. At the end with the Lord, discussion with the disciples. It's going to take us to the end of the chapter. In verse 5, it says, Saint Peter said, it's good for us to be here. And this is a very nice verse. I want just to highlight it. It's very good to be here. There is a nice verse in Psalm 27. This psalm, in the verse number 4 in this psalm, Psalm 27, it says, I desire, all my desire, that I can be living in the house of God. It's really this verse, it reminds me of this verse, which Saint Peter said. He said, it's good for us to be here. Very nice that we have this feeling, that while we are in the church, while we are praying, while we have kind of a spiritual meeting, that we say, it is very good for us to be here. This is chance, I cannot let it go. Because it's the time that I have a good chance to talk to the Lord. It's time that I can complain to Him. It's time that He can talk to me. Very nice verse that we put in mind. It's good to be here. And that's why when we go to the last verse number 8, we'll find the disciple. It says, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore but only Jesus with himself. Very nice when I say it's good to be here, and all my intention is the Lord. All my intention, how I can make the Lord happy. All my intention that I feel the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end, they reach the stage that they cannot see anyone. No one around them except Jesus. Definitely there was a lot of stuff around them. But they didn't see anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. Very nice that we put that in mind. Yeah, because of the timing, we'll try to be, I'll try to be quicker. And then they started the discussion with the Lord on the way back about who is Elijah. And is Elijah coming again or not? And then the Lord told them that Elijah already came, and he's talking about St. John the Baptist. And then when they came back, they found a lot of discussion, all the disciples with some people around them, and there is a problem happening. And they found out that the disciples could not cast out a demon from one of the boys. He had a mute spirit, and they could not take him out. And we'll find in verse 17, then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it sees him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnash his teeth, and become rigid. So I spoke to your disciple that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and was foaming at the mouth. The Lord has a lot of compassion toward this boy. This boy had how many years he had this spirit? And as we can see, he is struggling a lot. We'll find the Lord is very sensitive. He can react to a lot of situation around, not as a God, but as a human being, as a normal person. And he said that, he asked the dad, he said, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." This verse is really very, very nice verse. The next one. Verse number 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And then we'll find the Lord. He took the spirit out, and this boy became as a dead person. And then the Lord, he held his hand and he is back to life. I'll just highlight one verse. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." A lot of situations we go through, we have this feeling that we don't believe. We don't have the faith in the Lord that he can help us. Or even He can listen to us, or anyone is listening to us. We don't have this faith. We don't have strong faith, which is a lot of situation. It happens to us, and we become exactly like this man. The Lord told him, the key of the treatment for your child, it's you. It will be you. If you believe, your child will be healed. How hard it is this situation for this man. He feels that if he believes, his child will be right. So this man was very smart, and he was very honest. He said, I believe. But because he knows that the Lord, he might know, or he will know, that he is not honest, and he has no belief. He told him, Lord, I believe, but please, help my unbelief. And we can actually use this verse when we pray. Sometimes we ask the Lord, please give us the faith, strength our faith, that when we are in any problems or any tribulation, that we feel your presence with us. We can ask him this verse. We can tell him, Lord, I try to believe, but please help my unbelief. I can't believe. It's exactly like Jeremiah, he told the Lord, I really would love to repent, but please help me to repent. It's exactly the same. I would love to have the belief, but I am very weak. I have a lot of weakness. So please, Lord, help my unbelief. Very nice verse, and this verse to contemplate, that we can take it on our in our daily basis, in our prayer, and we pray to the Lord, please, Lord, help my unbelief. We'll find something very strange, that few chapters before, the Lord gave the disciples authority. What is the authority? The authority to cast out demons. But in this case, he could not. The father of the church spoke a lot about this miracle, and he said, although God gave us a lot of authority, a lot of talents, but this, all of this stuff, it has to be reactivated. And the reactivation or the activation of this stuff, it cannot come unless first we have faith that we can do it. Second, fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. And this is what the Lord told them. Because when they all sat together and they asked him, why, Lord, we couldn't do it. He told them, in verse 29, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. They say about the prayer and fasting, it's a wings for any bird. Any bird cannot fly without wings. For us, any of us, we cannot have a spiritual life without our wings, which is the fasting and prayer. And that's why the church in the Lent, it teaches us about the fasting and prayer and the action of the fasting and prayer in the fraction. Fasting and prayer did a lot of miracles. Fasting and prayers changed the Old Testament through fasting and prayers. So God, the Lord, is telling them again, fasting and prayer is the key for us to have our talent, our relationship with God, our spiritual power to be back again. God is going to answer a question The question is, who is the greatest? In verse 33, they are talking to each other, and then in verse 34, he said, they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desire to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. It's a very nice verse. We can have it to memorize. If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. This scenario is going to happen again in the next chapter when St. James and St. John come to him and tell him, please put one on the right and one on the left. And he will tell them, if you can drink from the cup I'm drinking, or you will be baptized from the same baptism. They said, yes, we can. He told them, the only thing, it is not my job now to say who is going to be on the right, who is still going to be on the left. The disciples, this is in chapter 12, it's chapter 10. The disciples get very upset because St. James and St. John, they wanted to be the first. And then we'll find the Lord is giving them some prescription how to be not think of this way. All the issue of the disciples, was they still thinking that the Lord is going to be the king on Israel, the earthly king, not the king of, like the king in heaven, not on earth. And this is a problem of the old disciples they are going through. And every day is trying to fix their way of thinking. And then the last 5 or 6 verses. For whoever give you a cup of water, like verse number 41, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Very nice verse, give us a lot of hope. Even a cup of water, God is not going to forget. For whoever give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. And then from verse 43, if your hand cause you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life rather than having two hands. And the same happened with the foot. It's better for you to enter life lame, and then it happened with the eyes. So the actual meaning of the verse, that if your eyes or your feet or your eye of your hand causing you to do a sin, it's better to cut them. Is that the right meaning, like the actual meaning, but what is the meaning of these verses? What do you think? What do you understand from the verses? The last 4 or 5 verses. Anyone has? Any of the saints has done the same? Which saint? Simon. Simon the son. He took the commandment and he did it by word. Definitely the church does not teach us that we take the verse by word. Because in heaven, anyway, you don't have an eyes or a hand or feet like the way we have it now. But the Lord is telling us to have the kingdom of God, do your best. That if you do some stuff and you know it's going to take you away from the Lord or away from the kingdom of God, please stop it. Or if you see some stuff and this stuff, or in the internet or the TV or and this stuff, it will make you away from the Lord or away from the kingdom of God, please don't do it. And the same, if you go somewhere and this place, you know, it's going to cause a lot of stumbling to you, please don't do it. This is the actual meaning. Not if you do a sin, you cut your hand or. Like the Simon, he did it. But he did it by a very simple way. He is a very simple man, and he didn't all what is in mind that he wants to go to heaven. He wants to inherit the heaven. That's all what he wants. And that's why the church accepted me as a saint. And that's why the Lord did a great saint, a great miracle by his hand. Because he's a very simple person, and he wanted to do the command of the Lord by word. So, but it is not a rule, it's an exception. So chapter 9, it is 50 verse. The verse for contemplation is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Verse to memorize. If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Last verse to understand. Verse to understand the first verse. He said to them, assuredly I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. If we read this verse, no one stayed for long. They all got martyred after the Lord ascended to heaven, like 10, 15, 20, 30 years. No one stayed. The first verse, it's giving us an idea that the Lord is telling them about what is going to happen about in the transfiguration, that some of you will not die until they see the kingdom of God coming with power. Which, as we said, transfiguration is a picture of heaven that the Lord is giving to them or showing to the disciples to believe about the kingdom of God. This is the first verse to understand. Some of the fathers, they said, it's not talking about the second coming or the heaven. It's talking about after the ascension and receiving the Holy Spirit, as if we are living in the kingdom of God. There's a verse that says the kingdom of God is inside us. So it's another explanation too. But the majority of the fathers, even the Synaxarian today, it explains this verse about the transfiguration. We have around 15 minutes or 20 minutes. So chapter 10. Chapter 10, it is all discussions, and it's going to end with one of the miracles of the Lord, that he opens the eye for a blind man. So he had a discussion with the Pharisees, and as you know, the Pharisees was some people, Jewish people, and these people, they are very fanatic, they're extreme. They want everyone to follow the law of like the commandments, but none of them they do it. So the first question they asked the Lord, they told him, they wanted to taste the Lord. All of the questions is going to come in the next few chapters. It's just the people, they want to see how is the Lord is going to answer the question. So chapter 10, the first question about the divorce and marriage. They told him, is it lawful for the man to divorce? He told them what Moses told you. They told him, he told us to write a certificate of divorce. Very nice verse number 5. Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But if you go back to the original commandment, the Lord told them, from the beginning God created man, male as a male and female. And he asked that they married only one. Man get married to only one. And he leaves his father and mother and live with his wife. Why? Because both of them, they will be one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. The Lord does not change his rules, or does not change his commandment. But what happens in the Old Testament? The Old Testament, after the sin, the people started to go behind their desires. And all what they wanted to get married to more than one. What happened in certain stage that some of the men, they started to kill their wife so they can have the chance to marry to another one. So that's why the Lord accepted that, or Moses accepted that, or gave them that certificate of divorce, so this kind of sins does not happen. But he just wanted to let them know that because of the hardness of your heart. Sometimes we get very upset, why the Lord is doing that in the Old Testament. This verse it explains a lot, because of the hardness of their heart. These people, they are very hard to deal with. And that's why we can find in Isaiah, the first chapter is talking about how hard they're dealing with the Israelites people in the Old Testament. So the Lord, in that chapter, he wanted to highlight the commandment that he gave it to Moses in Genesis. But because the hardness of their heart, they changed, God changed that for them at this stage. But originally, they are not allowed to. And then a very nice verse is about accepting the kids. The verse for contemplation. Number 15. So after they finished, some kids they came and they wanted to have the blessing. The disciples they refused. And the Lord told them the verse we all know, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such in the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. The first condition to enter the kingdom of God, to accept it as a child. Quickly, if we think about why is a child, and why is the Lord talking about a child or the kids to accept the kingdom of God, or why is the Lord asking us to have to be the like the kids, not in the age, at age, but in the behavior. We'll find the kids, they are very simple people. The most simplest people you can deal with, kids. Anything will make them happy. Anything. They will have the strongest faith more than us. If mom and dad told them that this is not a chair, this is a plane, they will believe it. Okay? And anyone tell them besides that, they will not believe. Why? Because mom and dad told me that. They have the unconditional love. They can love anyone, even if there is a fight and they have a fight with their friends. After a few minutes, you will not find anything. Everything pure. They forgive anyone for any reason. Is that all right about the kids? They're willing to learn. Sometimes we are not willing to learn. They are willing to learn because they know they don't know. But sometimes we argue because we think we know. They are dependent and they rely on the parents. Our problem is that we cannot depend on anyone, even God. Because we feel that we are strong enough and we can do it. Last, they feel their weakness. They feel they are weak and they need help. And that's why they are always carefree. Because they know that there is some people looking after them. And this is all we are missing. And that's why the Lord told them the first condition, be like the children. And then the other condition, anything you love, leave it for me. He saw another person, like a very young man and a very nice man. And this man, he is a great person because he told them how I can inherit the kingdom of God. This is in verse 17. He told him, if you know the commandment, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal. And then he told him, I did everything. So then he told him, there is one thing you should do. That you sell everything and you come and follow me. And then we'll find this man is very upset. He got upset. Why? Because he was a rich, very rich man. And then we'll find the disciples asking, does that mean that all the rich people, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God? God is going to explain it more or to just make it clear. He told them in verse 24, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Anything I feel that I have the peace and the joy because I have it, this is what I depend on. If I am a rich person or I have a lot of money or I have a high degree and I feel the happiness or the peace because I have this degree, this is the Lord talking about. Anything it's taking me away from God or making me feel that I don't need anyone because I have it, this is a thing I should work hard to leave it to inherit the kingdom of God. And then something very make us very happy is that the disciples told him, okay, we left everything for you. He told them, even if you left everything for me, you are going to inherit or you are going to get 100-fold. It's a very nice verse. Verse 13. Who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time? Houses and brothers and sisters, mother, children, clans with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. On earth, you will get 100-fold. If you do a lot for the Lord, don't worry. He is going to reward us 100-fold. Not in heaven, here. But because we live on earth, definitely we'll have some persecution. Definitely we'll go through the very narrow gate. And this will find the situation of St. James and St. John, who wants to sit on the right, who wants to sit on the left, and will find the Lord is giving them very nice verses. Put in mind that church is not an organization outside, that the greatest person is the manager, or the people, they are glorified by their position. He told them, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desire to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Why? Because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And there's a lot we can talk about that point, but we'll escape. So we can finish in the last 5-6 minutes. This chapter ends with a very nice miracle. The Lord healed the eyes for a blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. This miracle has been mentioned in others' Gospels. Just a highlight for this miracle. The Lord was walking, and then someone, he told him, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many times, hundreds. And then they started to ask him to be quiet. Anyone like would be shy, would say, okay, there is no hope. I did my part, and the Lord doesn't want to answer. He's not hearing. But we'll find here in verse 48, that many wanted him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. We'll find the Lord healed him. And he will tell him the reason I healed you, because the faith. You have a strong faith. Why? Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. This statement is very known, that the Messiah will be the son of David. Which is the Savior will be the son of David. So this man, he knows that Jesus is the Messiah, the son of David. That's why he told him, because of your faith, I will do it. We'll find the faith very clear. When? Because of a lot of nagging. He didn't say it once or twice or 10 or 20. He might say it maybe for hundreds. And he kept nagging the Lord. And this is a clear sign of the faith. He 100% he knows that the Lord is listening. And exactly the same what we do. In prayer, we can stay like 1-2 weeks, a month, 1 year, and our request to the Lord is not accepted. If I have the faith that the Lord is still listening, is listening to me, I will still nag. I will still ask more and more until the Lord accept my prayer. And then the Lord, he gave him the free will. He told him, what shall I do for you? What do you want me to do? And he said, then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Verse to memorize. Verse to understand. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. In verse 18, So Jesus said to him, this is the young man. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that's God. Some people, they say, if the Lord spoken about himself and he said, no one is good. Hell, it means that he is not God or he is not Son of God. But he, in the same, in St. John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. What's the difference? The difference is he didn't say here, I am not good. But he said, why do you call me good? Because this expression, they said only about God. And because he knows that this man, he has no faith, or he didn't reach the belief that this, the Lord or Jesus is God. So he said, if you don't have the faith that I am God, why do you call me good? Verse memorize. 27. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Very nice. Very nice to give us a hope. Very nice to open a lot of ways in front of us. And very nice to take it and think about how is everything possible for God. Which means, regardless of the problem, God can solve it. Chapter 11. Chapter 11, it is the Palm Sunday, Holy Monday, and the Holy Thursday. It's talking about entering Jerusalem, the Lord, how he entered Jerusalem. We are not going to go through it. And then Monday morning, when the Lord cursed the fig tree, and then he went and he took out all the people they are selling, and he told them, this place is a place of God. How do you make it a place for the thieves? And then we'll find Tuesday morning, the Lord went through again and he saw the fig tree. And it was very dry. And St. Peter, he was very shocked that the tree is dry. And he asked the Lord, how come the tree is dry? Exactly what you said happened. He told him, how come you don't have the faith? So it's talking about the faith again. I'm not going to highlight this point, just one point in this chapter. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If you have the belief, you will have them. Sometimes our prayer is not accepted because we don't have enough faith or we don't forgive. And that's why it's mentioned here. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So Mark 11, chapter 11, Palm Sunday, the first 11 verse, it's talking about Palm Sunday, this is the reading, from 12 to 19, Holy Monday, 20 to 33, Holy Tuesday. Verse to memorize. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. In this chapter it's talking about the fig tree and how is the fig tree resembling the people, they have the hypocrisy, which is the Pharisees and the people, the Jewish, the majority of the Israelites, because the fig tree, there is no fruit. fruits. It's only leaves. It's very nice leaf, very green leaves. It looks like a very nice tree, but actually it has no fruits. And sometimes we go through this stage. We try our best to be the best people ever outside, and from inside there is no fruits. And this is what the Lord is highlighting in the last chapter, which is chapter 12. The last 2 minutes. Chapter 12 is talking about one of the parables. It is the vineyard and the vine dressers. And this parable has been mentioned in Isaiah chapter 5. Same. Isaiah chapter 5 has been mentioned the same parable about that the God had a vineyard. And this vineyard, he had some vine dressers, and he wanted to collect the fruits. He sent a lot of people, which is the prophets, and they killed him. They killed them. And then at the end, he sent his son, and they killed him. What he can do with this vineyard? And definitely he's talking about the Israelites. And then he discussed some issues with the Pharisees and the Herodians about who to give the tax. Should we give the tax to Caesar or not? And the Lord told them, whoever the money for Caesar, yes. Whoever the money for God, yes. And then discussion about the resurrection and if there is a resurrection after death. Which some people, their name is the Sadducees, and these people, they have no belief in resurrection. They don't believe in resurrection. And then warning from the scribes. And it ends with one of the very nice story about the widow with the two mites. We all know about this story. The widow, that she had no money except two mites. And what did she do? She put all of the money for God. And it ends with the last verse. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. The Lord was standing beside this place, beside the area they put money, and he found a lot of people, very rich people, putting a lot of money, 100,000, and he didn't care. The only person he cared about, a widow, a very, very poor lady. She only had two mites, and she gave from what she has. She not even gave some money and kept some. She gave everything. It's very clear about how strong her faith is. That she gave all what she has to the Lord, and she trusts the Lord that He is going to give her 100-fold back. St. Mark's Gospel is a very, very rich gospel. Exactly, all of them is very rich. It's a very, maybe like this 45 minutes, it's a starting point that we can read more about these four chapters. We can learn more. We can contemplate more. We can have more verses to learn about. If you have any questions, we can help with any means, but it's all very simple verses. It's just need that when we read the verse, we read it again. And again, not to memorize it, just to understand what is the meaning behind. The idea of this, all the Gospels, all of them will find them very simple, and we can understand them. But how we can use them in our life, this is the situation. يعني may Saint Mary and her blessing and the days of Saint Mary give us all a blessing and help us to use the gospel of Saint Mark, to use it in our life day by day. Glory be to God forever.